you know, our world is changing rapidly, and we talk about it often. And yet, even looking at the advancements that's been made just in the last 10 to 15 years, and in spiritual humanity, in our religious structures, and all of our lives trying to find meaning, especially with things that are happening in our world, with major storms that come, with political events, with all the ways that we feel about the currents in our world. And as humanity, we seek to find some kind of a meaning, something that has value, something that we can stand upon, something that gives us a sense of strength and of nourishment in going forward. And because things have changed so rapidly, how we come together, how we find unity with one another, the churches and the spiritual institutions used to be the places that people would come for companionship. And they were out in communities and people gathered. And now people do so much more on Facebook, or they have so many more events that the whole structure is shifting and changing. And as we take a look at how our world is moving, what it calls us into an understanding is that no longer can we view God in the way that we have for so many centuries. And that structure that are actually millions of years, and that structure that has moved us forward is now shifting and changing. And in that collapse of what has always been traditional, we find ourselves kind of, swimming frantically and going, what are we doing? Where are we going? And so I'm actually going to do a two-part series that is inspired by the book that we are also doing on Wednesday evening class. And the series I'm doing is Shedding Past Paradigms. I want to take a fresh look at God, a fresh look at spirituality and Christianity. So today we're going to be looking at a fresh look at God. Next week, part two, we'll be doing Christianity and spirituality. And what John Philip is inviting us into a recognition is that Christianity as we know it has been crumbling. And when we stop to really think about that, let's go back to look at what Christianity is based on, what the beliefs in God are based upon, our ideas of what God is. We talk about it a lot in a shifting of viewing God as, you know, some Superman up in the sky, a separate thing from us, who we might anger or who we need to please, so we're okay. And we can realize that over the evolution of humanity, going back to, you know, prehistory times and then the evolution, we understand that humanity in consciousness has been growing and changing since the beginning of time. And yet ideas that were set in motion back when, say, cavemen would walk outside and see lightning and be frightened, or a forest fire or an earthquake or an eclipse, that was something that was unexplainable. And with the best portion of the brain that had not really even evolved very much then, the natural human instinctual reactions that would come forward are what? Fear. Fear. Fear resides in that amygdala portion of our brain that transcends time within us. It is a part of who we are. And we can understand why, when they would go out and see something so frightening, what would you tend to do? You would want to appease that which seemed to be afflicting you in some way. And so over time, this evolved into one of the first religions, which was and the first historical writings of a group of human people, which were the Jewish religion and the Jewish people. They were the first ones to even write any kind of a history. And so we begin to see, though, these ideas that are a part of human consciousness over time that have been developed, that are about a fearful something outside of self that can smite one down, right? That can cause problems, that can bring famine, that can create tornadoes and floods and fires. And so that mystical seeking to understand created the foundation upon which people began to create a definition or an understanding of something that they would call God. Now, there were many words that were used before that got translated also into English. And so we have, you know, we want to have a sense, though, of how deeply these old paradigms of belief reside within us at an unconscious level. And to understand, it's only natural. I mean, if you're sitting at an intersection and all of a sudden a car comes flying at you, there's something in you that's the amygdala part of the brain that responds and tells you to move out of the way, right? So that's a part of us. So we still have this responsive place in us that reacts to fear stimulus. And I'll tell you, in our world, there are an awful lot of things that can create, you know, that sense of having fear. And so our journey now as spiritual humanity and where we are paving a new path forward is recognizing, though, that we have indeed evolved. There's a tendency right where we are right now to think, well, this is kind of how we are and how we'll be. We know we're sort of growing, but we don't really think about how much we have changed over the millenniums of time and that we are continuing to do so. We are ever evolving. And so for us to take a look at how we will embrace letting go of ideas that have been resonant in us for so long and begin to embrace on a new journey how we face our world. And you know, aren't we all looking for some kind of a meaning, something? How do we deal with things that are happening politically? Whichever side you reside on there, you either like or you don't like. And there's reactions and there's fears and there's angers and then we see hurricanes that come and earthquakes and how do we deal with this in our world today in something that gives us a strength and a courage to stand upon that is different though than an old idea of a God that's fashioned as something outside of us that can be angry or that we have to appease. Because as science evolves and as we are more aware, as our millennials are seeking and exploring and saying, you know, this doesn't make sense. You know, we know that there's not a heaven sort of in the old construct. Of course, here in Unity, we believe heaven and hell are a state of consciousness, not a place. But people are exploring and saying, well, what relevance does spirituality, religion, God, Christianity have? And so it's important for us to begin to take a look differently, take a fresh look, and begin to recognize that we are in a time where we're building bridges. Thanks for that song, Melanie. And love, not the human emotional love, but the love that is the energy of all creation, is assisting us in moving forward into a whole new realm of experiencing what God is and how God shows up in our lives. I really like this quote. It was, it's from Harry Emerson, Fosdick. He was American pastor back in the 1920s and 30s. And he says, God is not a cosmic bellboy for whom we can press a button to get things done. How many times we say, God, please come and, you know, take this away or do this for me or do that. Do we, you know, that's how we've been taught to pray. And that's a part of natural and normal human consciousness, because when we're afraid, we ask for things. But sometimes we forget in that process, it's about surrendering, not about demanding. Because Jennifer O'Neill then goes on to say, the universe and spirit do not understand limitations. People invent limitations. So as we're kind of like just opening our minds to explore a different thought around God and what that might be, we recognize even in our prayer and how we go to God that what we are taking to God are our own perceptions of limitation, the things that we fear, the things that we can't see yet differently. And from that place, we demand, as opposed to coming open and receptive into the presence of all that is, to be guided and directed in a way that allows us to step forward with strength and courage and to find our path. In Genesis, it says, Genesis 1, 26, 27, it says, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. So what have we done with this? We've pretty much created God in our image. Have we not? We've created a God who is angry. We've created a God who is a giant person. We've created a God who is limited in respects, because it was the only way we knew how to connect at one time, friends. But things are changing now. And we understand that when it says God created us in his image, in the image of godness, God is creation, creating. God is spirit. God is light. God is everything. And we are created in the image of co-creators to participate with. In John Newell's book, he says, we are made of the light that was in the beginning. We are made of the wisdom that fashioned the universe in its glory of interrelatedness. We are made of the love that longs for oneness. What would it look like for these true depths to fully come forth again? A primary feature of such rebirthing is the desire to move back into relationship with everything else that is of God. It means choosing to move in harmony with the universe again, knowing the unnameable and untamable presence of the divine in all things. It means growing in awareness of Earth's sacredness. So friends, what I'm inviting us to begin just kind of considering in this process, in shedding past paradigms, beliefs, understanding that a lot of these beliefs are instinctual and are so firmly ingrained in us that sometimes we don't even realize that they're operative in our lives. And yet, with Christianity struggling, with religion struggling around our world, with concepts, with the crossover between spirituality and science, as they both explore and begin to realize how much more they are in harmony with each other than anyone ever had any idea, and they are not conflicted, when they don't engage in a Father God out here, but embrace the beingness of all creation continuing to create and become. Understanding that God is the sunlight and the stars at night and the crickets that chirp and the trees whose leaves blow in the wind. God is Mother Earth and the flow of the water. God is that impulse in us that invites us. It invites us to reach out, and that longing, it said that longing for oneness, the longing for connection. And it has been challenging with a lot of current day media that we have to remember that while it facilitates us in connecting at one level, it does not bring us face to face with each other. And as we begin to take a fresh look at God and not make God in our image, but recognize we are created in the image of being co-creation, of knowing we have that capacity that moves beyond how we think in our outer mind, which sees all of this around us as reality. When we begin to shift, when we are willing to release, to explore with curiosity, to consider what might it be like for me to touch into the pulse, the toning, the vibration of this planet Earth, of our universe, the heartbeat of God. What might that feel like? To know that instinctually the amygdala part of my brain may still kick up that old image. However, to create a new neural pathway only takes 15 seconds of focused awareness. 15 seconds, friends. There it went. Another 15 seconds. Where were our thoughts? Where were we focused? Another 15 seconds. See, and at any moment, we can stop for those 15 seconds, or we can keep moving for those 15 seconds, except shift in an awareness where we feel into all that is, where we embrace a greater reality. I have so many things I want to share. Okay, so Charles Fillmore, Jesus Christ Heals. Says, language is the limitation of mind. Therefore, do not expect the unlimited to leap forth into full expression through the limited. Words never express that which God is. And how often do we try to define? I do, because what does that do? It gives us a sense of power and control, doesn't it? Because releasing, letting go, and allowing opens us into that which is the unknown. Many of you remember when I did a series by Linda Martella-Witsit on her book, Divine Audacity. She says, when we surrender or allow, we are releasing ourselves from held beliefs. We become open to the universal wisdom that has always been here, but clouded by the beliefs of the limited or personal self. We have access to all that we could not see or imagine before. The key to allowing is to stop struggling. We try so hard to make it happen. And yet when we breathe, and when we just take 15 seconds to look differently, when we take that little bit of time to perhaps look at the stars at night and just be immersed in them. We take 15 seconds to recycle something because we care for planet Earth, because we're engaged in recognizing that we're part of a greater whole. We begin to shift the old paradigm and belief of God as something that we need to live up to, something we need to please, something we need to be better than, because we don't recognize we are the living expression of God right here and right now, just as we are. Do we walk it perfectly? Well, what is perfectly? Perfectly is a mind construct. See, friends, we're being invited to just walk with awareness, to be open, to be receptive, to reach out, to touch in with others, to be willing to, with curiosity, let go of those old beliefs in order to explore the possibility of something that is fathomless and limitless and ever-present and always has been and always will be. Paul Bunyan, who is a British spiritualist author, he said, deep down within the heart, there is a stillness, which is healing, a trust in the universal laws, which is unwavering, and a strength, which is rock-like. But because it is so deep, we need both patience and perseverance when digging for it. Patience and perseverance, the willingness to take 15 seconds to shift our viewpoint, to perceive differently, to embrace the openness of our planet, of all oneness, of who we are all together creating and becoming. Willing to perceive differently, we break free from limiting erroneous beliefs. Willing to perceive differently, we break free from limiting erroneous beliefs. I really love this. I don't have a slide for it, Kevin, but I wanted to share this with you. This is one of my favorite things from Michael Green. He talks about Donald Klotz, and he says, the man known to Christians as Jesus, to Muslims as Isa, and to his companions at that time as Yeshua, spoke the ancient Semitic language of Aramaic. In Aramaic, sacred words carry many shades of meaning, the better to reflect the ungraspable nature of divinity. When Jesus says God, his Aramaic is Allah. The understandings evoked by that word, by Allah, are far more subtle and complex than those of God, the word God, which comes from the Germanic word for good. You know, as the Bible got translated and brought forward, it again was put not in the image of godness, but in the image of human mind and limitation and how it could try to describe with words. So it goes on to say, according to Bible scholar Neil Douglas Klotz, Allah would have been understood on the streets of Jerusalem as, O sacred unity, or O encompassing oneness, or all, or ultimate power, or ultimate potential, or one with no opposite. Consider, friends, in living our lives forward from here as we begin to merge, as we begin to engage and recognize, millennials are saying, wait a minute, you know, this old paradigm of belief, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that there's some big guy up in the sky. They're seeking something of substance. And the truth is, we all are. We're seeking something different. And recognizing, Jesus didn't talk about God as Father, which got translated into English and into words that have limitation. Jesus was speaking of limitless potential, of all that is oneness. And as we begin to shift in how we recognize our thinking about God, as we notice that, you know, as humans, it's only natural to seek something to comfort us and support us when we're going through a challenge. And there's nothing wrong in that. We need that. But it is recognizing that in addition to that, in addition to the way that we sort of need a God with skin on sometimes to talk to or to come into the presence of, that there is something more that we can drop into. It is that limitless presence. And it is a part of the flow of our universe. It is a part of all oneness. It is a part of all that we are together becoming as we evolve as spiritual humanity. So in moving forward, as we shed these old paradigms of belief, we are invited to engage with curiosity, to notice the pathway of our thoughts, to shift them for 15 seconds into something that is of the wonder of the universe, or of our child that is sitting next to us, or of a dear friend, and to begin to let that shift the pathways that have been built in us that are of separation, that put a God outside of us. It begins to shift and allow us to recognize our oneness. From Romans 12, 2, it says, "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of oneness, of Allah, of all that is." And so in closing, I will share this quote from Alan Cohen, who is an inspirational author, many, many books he's written. "It takes a lot of courage to release the familiar and seemingly secure, to embrace the new. But there is no real security in what is no longer meaningful. There is more security in the adventurous and exciting, for in movement there is life, and in change there is power, friends." We are stepping into a new awareness, into a new recognition, a fresh look at what God, Allah, oneness means to us, and how it shows up in our life as the rock of support, of wisdom that is limitless, of strength, of health, of courage, of grace, of unconditional love. And living into that, we begin moving forward in a brand new paradigm.